All right, welcome again to another episode of Big Guns Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Commissioner Jay. Welcome you back. Today, I want to take a moment and kind of give a little bit of a rant as Mondays just seem that way. And really, that rant is about NFL analysts or so-called journalists in the NFL space. I'm really troubled by what I'm hearing, what I'm not hearing, how it's being said, how it's being brought to the media. And some of you might think the same way or not. So here we go. To listen to some people on certain sports networks, let's see. Let's talk about Dan Orlovsky. Dan Orlovsky was not good in the NFL. Yet I listened to him on ESPN or attempt to listen to him on ESPN. And somehow, some way, he's a trusted journalist. I think he's more of an alarmist and somebody who just likes to spew garbage from his mouth. Stephen A. Smith. He is who again? Why is he talking about the National Football League? Never played in the National Football League. Somehow, some way, he has his own show, and somehow, some way, we're supposed to believe the garbage that comes out of his mouth. Chris Sims. Why is Chris Sims on Pro Football Focus? He sucked as a quarterback. He sucks even worse as an analyst. And I don't even know if you want to call him an analyst. And I use the word journalism or journalistic integrity with very, very loose tongue. Because again, how many of these guys are actual journalists? How many of these guys are actual analysts? They're nothing more than entertainment commentary. But yet we as fans listen to these jackalopes and we are supposed to take what they say. And I go back to week number one. It was a dark time for the Buffalo Bills, Monday Night Football against the New York Jets. And I don't know how many analysts or journalists or so-called whatever they are called dump on the Bills. Josh Allen is a fake. He's a joke. He's never going to take this team anywhere. He is creating, just all kinds of problems for this team. He'll never amount to anything. The Buffalo Bills are a joke. We heard teams like the New York Jets. We heard teams like even the Patriots. They're going to win the division. And everybody was just spewing. We hear people like Peter King, who I would consider a journalist, say some things that just didn't make any sense. When are we going to come to terms with the fact that these guys are garbage? Pat McAfee. Those of you who know me know that I am not a fan of Pat McAfee for a lot of reasons. Number one, his show before he sold out to ESPN, sitting in his wife beater t-shirt and sitting on a show with his carnival cast of characters with cowboy hats and Pac-Man Jones and all this other stuff. These guys would just spew. And, you know, they had to swear and they had to talk out their backsides. And again, then ESPN brought them aboard. I turned myself to podcasts because I believe that people can hear the truth. And they're not listening to the media or the political side of the broadcasts. Because ESPN and ABC, they're all part of the same Disney plan, part of the same just used up, poor choice of words company that just has become crappy. The days of Chris Berman, Tom Jackson, calling off primetime on Sunday, or Dan Patrick or Keith Olbermann are gone. Now we have guys like, again, Mina Kimes and Dan Orlovsky. And again, every day it's a different person who's the flavor of the week. Never heard of them before. And let's just put a pretty woman or a so-called pretty woman in place and make sure that they have, a nice set of legs, or nice hair and their eye candy. We see it happening in the weather industry as well. Again, when did you ever have to have full-length shots of a weatherman or weatherwoman? It's all about sex appeal. It's all about selling that sizzle. Doesn't matter if the weathermen are ever right, because you know they're not. Well, it's the same thing when you see the Cynthia Freelands of the world that are making predictions. And I get such a kick out of that when Cynthia Freeland and whoever that she thinks she is, with her overdrawn makeup and different glasses, every, you know, Sally Jesse Raphael look, says, "Oh, I'm going to make a prediction, and the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen's going to throw for 226 yards and 2 touchdowns. Wait, I'm sorry, what? What? You make a prediction on the actual yardage and touchdowns? Like, where do you get your analysis, your knowledge? You just take a dart out of your bag and you throw it at the wall and that's the number? How is that good TV? How is that anything? But yet we have to listen to them and, oh, well, they're nice eye candy. So, you know, it's okay that they talk out their ass. No, I don't believe that. You know, you look at Pardon My Take, another ESPN joke, and you see these guys like Shannon Sharp. You know, you were a good football player, but you suck as an analyst. You suck as a journalist. You suck as an entertainment person. Then you got these guys from ABC for Sunday Night Football, Rodney Harrison, this salty jerk off calling Zach Wilson garbage. And you know what? Zach Wilson might very well be that, but you are no place and you have no authority to say that, especially on national TV. But yet we allow it. And all these people just talk. You have, there's some good ones that are out there, and there's some people that report the news and they actually vet their stories. And it's becoming less and less every day. And it pains me. You know, it's speed to lead. It's who can get to the story first. We don't care if that story's correct. We don't care if we take the words from a player or a coach or an owner, and we kind of manipulate them and bastardize those words just a little bit to make the story sound a little bit better, a little bit more salty. Because again, that would make more sense. People, wake up. These networks are controlled by people that just want money. ESPN are a bunch of cheap clowns that have millions and billions of dollars, okay, that are part of Disney. They want you to pay for ESPN Plus and the garbage that's on there. Again, the reason why they let go so many good names in ESPN is because they're too cheap to pay them, and they want the flavor of the day, not even the flavor of the week, to report the news. And they try to sound like an old Dan Patrick or Keith Olbermann or just to sound, oh, ha, cutesy pootsy. Sorry, folks, it doesn't cut it. I want someone who's going to talk and have the chops. You know, you look at the Adam Schefters and the Ian Rappaports of the world of NFL football, and for the most part, their stories are pretty accurate, but their speed to story is sometimes faltered by they're overzealous to get the point first, and it's not correct. And I'm sick of it, and I want a show. You look at the NFL Network, and that used to be a show that was actually fun to watch, Good Morning Football. And you listen to these guys that are out there right now, and what authority are they to talk? And everything has to be cutesy-pootsy. The Subway Fresh Take line, you know, and the this, that, and the other. We have to make a skit about everything. And we have to run around and scream and yell and act like jackalopes. It's not entertainment because the stuff that you're talking about makes zero sense. Your predictions, no one cares about them. Okay? Then you take a look at the Las Vegas odds and you look at the financial aspect of it, and you have these people that are talking about what's a good bet and the FanDuel and the DraftKings, and it's just becoming a cesspool. When you look at these organizations, they're dumpster fires. And has anyone's predictions actually come to fruition? It's almost like fantasy analysts. They predict things. They're never right. But at least they try to come to an answer. And they say, the reason why I came to this conclusion is because. But you don't see that anymore. I'd like an educated guess. But that's not what happens anymore. And I'm hearing these players like Chris Sims and Dan Orlovsky talk smack about players that are actually playing the NFL that are actually good. And shame on you because you weren't good. You have no business in this industry talking out your ass. So that's my rant. Again, more people need to speak up about this. And I think that's the reason why podcasts and YouTube TV shows, the Joe Rogan-esque type things. I mean, even Ryan Clark, I'll end with this. You know, there's a show that came out called The Pivot. And again, you look at those three guys. And when it first came out, man, I loved it. I thought, man, this is a show of shows. But Ryan Clark belongs to ESPN. And you're not going to tell me that Ryan Clark doesn't have a vested interest in what he says. And I'm sure ESPN is letting Ryan Clark know, hey, you have to align with what you're saying on ESPN because it's a conflict of interest. And when he's on ESPN, Ryan Clark is not that good. When he was on The Pivot before, he was great. But now it seems like ESPN has blurred the lines and The Pivot is now on the take, if you will. Pat McAfee's show, as much as I despised it, at least it spoke the truth. Well, now he's part of ESPN. It's watered down, and there's a political side to it, and it's not good. Travis Kelce, a guy that I despise. I love him as a tight end. I think he's phenomenal. Jason Kelce, I think, is an awesome guy for the Eagles. They got a podcast, and that podcast has some interesting takes. But how long for the NFL and we're going to hear about the Swifties and all the other BS that comes with it. We need to put this stuff to bed. We need to stop talking about this garbage. Podcasts are awesome because they reek of individuality and the truth. Say what you want and post it. And knowing that you're going to listen to a podcast, there might not be factual integrity, but there's going to be some people on there talking the truth. But be careful what you listen to and be careful how you listen to it, because again, some of these people that are having their own podcast have a financial vested interest and a conflict of interest with a larger company that has a larger verbiage that goes on. So again, you know, Joe Rogan hasn't sold out, and that's what makes his show so great. Those are the type of people you need to look at. These type of conversations that are had that are not influenced by big media. That's all the time I got for now. Hope you like what you heard. Talk to you soon. All right, welcome to the Big Guns Football Podcast. I'm your host, Commissioner Jay. And today we're just talking some more football. And if you watched last night's game, Seattle at the Giants, you probably are thinking the same thing that most people are thinking, that the Giants are in a lot of trouble. And Daniel Jones showed out pretty well for the Giants last season. The team started to come together. They got into the playoffs. Things were looking up and up. This year, not so much. Obviously, Saquon Barkley out with an injury. Was doubtful to play this game. Did not play. Looks like he possibly may play next week. But this offensive line, or lack thereof, has been abysmal. And Daniel Jones has been sacked 11 times. I think he was pressured 26 times. And that's just not a recipe for success. The receivers aren't catching the ball. They got this tight end on their team. His name's Darren Waller. He's kind of playing the Kyle Pitts role of Atlanta, where they're just not using him. And I don't understand why. I think he would be such a major player to use, and yet they don't. They just looked bad. The pick six was kind of like the turning point. You could see the look on Brian Daboll's face. Like, what are you doing? They've had words on the sidelines. Daniel Jones was kind of like ignoring him. There is definitely problems in that locker room between the players. And I really think that the Giants, in a division that has the Washington Commanders playing competitive football, the Eagles, who are undefeated, the Cowboys that are holding their own, really have their work cut out for them. I think really you have to come to a point right now, if you're a Giants fan, you know, you can get out of that contract for Daniel Jones next year. I think it can be a clean break. I think you could also get rid of the Saquon Barkley situation, Darren Waller, and I think you could unload this team to opponents that need these weapons and prepare yourself to tank. And I know Giants fans don't want to hear that, but to tear this team down and rebuild seems like a good idea for what kind of product we're seeing on the field. I take nothing away from the Seattle Seahawks. I think that they're a good team, and I think Pete Carroll's an awesome coach. And we're seeing what he's doing with Geno Smith, which is just awesome, and I really like the comeback story, the underdog guy, the guy that was left on the side of the road and has resurrected his career. But the Seattle Seahawks looked like world beaters against the Giants, and I think it was more of the Giants not looking good versus the Seattle Seahawks being that great. And I think they're good, and I think they're a playoff team. But again, the Giants just look bad. So if it's me, I'm trading Darren Waller. I'm trading Saquon Barkley. I'm looking to see if there's a suitor for Daniel Jones. If not, I'm getting rid of him next year. And I'm going after the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. And they have to get in line, though, if they're going to do this, because there are some really bad teams that are out there that are vying for that spot, a la the Bears, the Jets, the Broncos. There are some teams out there that just can't get out of their own way. The Patriots have to be involved in that conversation because, again, you look at that team, and Mac Jones just is not good. And Bill Belichick, I'll tell you, I was so wrong about Bill Belichick. I mean, he is a great coach, but his time is over. And I think that I looked at, you know, his coaching staff. Obviously, he needs to, you know, get rid of his son, who's a joke. And you look at the fact that he's in charge of, like, draft picks and kind of general manager duties. I think it's just too much for him. And Robert Kraft might be blind to the Belichick ways, but he needs to really take over or put somebody else in charge, because this team needs some life and they need it quickly. Same with the Jets. There's nobody out there right now for the Jets. Zach Wilson may be the best option that they have. I don't think that players like Carson Wentz or Trevor Siemian or Colin Kaepernick are going to move the needle at all. And I think they know that. I think Zach Wilson shows flashes of brilliance. I think he shows signs of life. He's just not good. So do the Jets win a game here or there and kind of go middle of the pack? Or do they just throw their hands up and say, hey, let's get involved? The problem is, and I'm saying just Caleb Williams, but there's a pretty good staff of college quarterbacks that are coming out this year. There's also the Marvin Harrison Jr. sweepstakes as well. So for a lot of these guys, there could only be one lousy, lousy team. So they have to understand that they have to really tank to kind of get the Caleb Williams love, or at least be in the ballpark. If not, they're trading more capital and they're doing more things. And I think a lot of these teams the Bears, the Jets, the Broncos, you know, these teams all need more than just one player. They and the Giants, you know, they need a lot. The Giants need an offensive line straight up. Daniel Jones would probably be more successful. He had time to throw, but it just seems like that pocket collapses and he's just crushed. Matt Breida, he's just not a starting running back. And when you don't have a bell cow running back making the moves, it's not going to happen. Also, if you're not using the guy that you went after, which is Darren Waller, makes no sense to me at all. But this team finds new ways to embarrass themselves, and it's a shame because, again, I had super high hopes. I was very excited to see the Giants. I have friends that are season ticket holders, and, yeah, it's a tough thing. So looking forward for us now for the Buffalo Bills. They traveled to London. Not a fan of the whole London thing, I'll be honest, is – to me, it's just, it's a pain. 9:30 game doesn't work for me. But here we are. The good part about it is the Buffalo Bills aren't facing the monster team that we thought that the Jacksonville Jaguars were going to be. Right now, four games in, they just don't look as promising as we thought they would be. You know, we figured that Trevor Lawrence was just going to take a major step. And Calvin Ridley and all these other guys that are on this team, Zach Moss, Evan Engram, Travis Etienne, we're going to just really dominate. And they just haven't. So do I feel good about this game? Yeah. I think the Bills will come in as long as they play the playbook from the last three games. I think they'll be fine. There's no reason for Josh Allen to put it on his shoulders. There's a team behind him, and he's using it. So to me, that's a really good thing. Another game, too, that I'm looking forward to is next Sunday night. It's going to be the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers are the team to beat in the NFL right now. The Bills soon will be, I think. And that could be a Super Bowl preview. But I'm not saying that because if I do, I'm going to jinx myself. Well, I just said it, so crap. Oh, well. 49ers and Cowboys. And this is a game that Dak Prescott needs to win to convince the naysayers about his gameplay. They've got a good team. Mike McCarthy has his work cut out for them. I think the 49ers are just too much. Brock Purdy is more than a game manager. Every week he shows more and more that he is, you know, cool like the other side of the pillow. CMC, Christian McCaffrey is, damn, he's good. He's just good. If he stays healthy, this team is going to be hard to take down because, again, you have to focus your entire defense on that guy. And when you do, players like Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and George Kittle get loose. Even their fullback's good, Kyle Juszczyk. So then you talk about the defensive side of the ball, and they are just that good. And I think that when you look at, you know, again, we're four games in. But if you were to say, oh, well, you know, the Eagles are undefeated, that's going to be an NFC championship. My money's on the 49ers to win that game because I just don't think the Eagles are playing with the moxie that they did last year. Yes, they're winning games. I think there's some circumstantial stuff that goes on that puts them in that position. But all things considering, I think the Niners are the team to beat. And the Bills, when I look around the league, you know, the Dolphins are going to be part of this. They got to figure some things out. Defensively, Vic Fangio's got to figure out some stuff. Mike McDaniel has to figure out some things from this game because people are going to be watching the game tape of the Buffalo Bills, and they are definitely going to know that there are some chinks in the armor for Dolphins. So I think the Jets and the Patriots are out, so I don't think that's a problem. You look around the league, the Bengals are not good, okay? Big story, and we'll do a podcast on the whole Joe Burrow thing. I think it's more than the ankle. I really do. I think they missed on him. And again, I know it has a part to do with it, but there's more than one player on a team. And they just don't look good. And Zach Taylor doesn't seem to find an answer. There's dissension in the locker room. Ja'Marr Chase wants to be involved, and he's having trouble with that as well. So we'll see what happens there. But again, the Kansas City Chiefs also don't look good. They look okay, but, you know, they're so enamored right now with the whole Taylor Swift situation at that, again, the Jets almost won. So what does that tell you? You know, the Chargers find new ways to choke. I think that's a coaching situation. So in the next podcast, we're going to talk about coaches and coordinators and the effect that they have and the decisions that they make and how teams should approach it and what teams should be in the coaching hot seat and some that are not. And we'll go from there. That's all the time I have for now. Hope you like what you heard. Talk to you soon.